Oh, I apologize. Hebrews 11, verse 6. J.B. Phillips, New Testament. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? So he's not, whatever, that's why anything without faith is sin. If you're not operating in faith, it's impossible to please God. The man who approaches God must have faith in two things. First, the first thing you have to have faith in is that God exists. The second is that it's worth a man's while to try and find God. And as I was thinking, you know, you read scriptures over and over and over, and, you know, on occasion, different words in the scriptures seem to jump out to me. And what jumped out to me is the word exists. You know, the King James doesn't, I don't believe, use that, but that's why I like reading in different translations. In the Phillips translation, it says, you must believe first that God exists. First, you have to believe that God is an actual being. He's not someone that has lived. He's someone that is alive right now. And you also have to, when you say that God exists, it also means he continues to live. Continues. You have to believe that. Look at Psalm 58 quickly, please. Psalm 58. This is out of the Passion translation. Thank you, tech team, because I got these things to you later than usual. Psalm 58, verses 10 and 11. Says, this godly celebration in the triumph of good over evil, and the lovers of God will trample the wickedness of the wicked under their feet. Verse 11, then everyone will say, there is a God who judges the judges. And there's a great reward in loving God. Well, if you want the reward for loving God, you have to look at, I'm up here. If you're loving God, you have to first believe that he is and that he will reward those who look at me. We sang earlier, with no distractions. Just because something came off, looking at it is not going to make it turn off. And looking at the person is not going to make the move any faster. If anything, it'll cause them to get frustrated, and all of a sudden their fingers don't work right. Pay attention to where the life-giving word is going for. Now, where was I? There is a great reward in loving God. Well, it says in Hebrews, we said it's worth a man's while to find God. There's a great reward in doing that. When you actively love God, there's a great reward. And the key word is actively. That means everything that you're doing, everything that you're saying, every situation, you are seeking out God. Those online, you'll have to forgive me. I'm so happy to see the people. I may turn away from you from time to time. I'm not ignoring you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 9, in the Amplified Bible, when he was giving us the prayer model, he said, pray therefore like this. Our Father, who is in heaven. Not our Father who used to occupy the seat on the throne, but now you've died along with the old prophets and the old saints. No, you can pray, our Father who is in heaven. We are acknowledging, we believe that God is. And we know exactly where he's in heaven. That's why we can say God is on the throne, Jesus is Lord, devil is defeated. Period. Our God, no matter what happens, God is on the throne. I would say to you sometimes, I say, just when anything happens, stick your head out of the window. And if you don't hear thunder coming from the sky, you know everything's fine. God didn't fall off the throne. It didn't take him by surprise. Okay? And then he said, holy, hallowed be your name. Not only do I know you exist, but you are a holy God who exists. Scripture says we must first believe that God is, and that it's worth our while to try to find him. And I thought, find him where? And the answer came back, in everything. In everything. He's there, but you have to look for him. Every Sunday, every time when either myself or Pastor Ed is scheduled to minister, we have to go into our office and look for our microphone. It's there. It was placed there for us. But we have to come in and see, where is it? I know it's here. Dan, it's laid right out on the desk. Sometimes you're rushing the color of it. It blends into the color of the desk. Kind of like dropping a black bag in your car that has a black interior. But we know he's there. Matthew 7. Listen to what Jesus said again. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. In the Passion Translation. Talks about diligently seeking him. It says, ask, and the gift is yours. Seek, and you'll discover. Knock, and the door will be open for you. Then it goes on to wipe out the thought, will God do it for me? For every persistent one will get what he asked for. Every what kind? Persistent one. So if you're not persistent in it, you won't see it. Or you won't find it. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for, and everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. It did not say and does not say will immediately. I mean, it could happen. I'm sure in some cases it does. But God is saying you persistently knock, and one day it will be opened. And God's not going to say, let me just open this to get rid of this person. No, you are persistently knocking, and when due season comes around, the door opens. Who does it open for? You. When you're persistently seeking, some translations says asking instead of ask. And that doesn't mean you have to keep asking God for the same thing. It means in everything you ask him. He heard you the first time, so then that's done. Now something else comes, ask him again. You keep asking. Why? Because you're seeking him first. You're going to God first. That's what it says in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But the first thing we have to do is what? Seek God, believing that he exists and believing that it's worth my while to find him. Believing that. See, when you believe it, you're operating in faith. When you believe it, you operate. Faith says, I believe it. So if you believe it, you act like it. Why did you come here today at 10 o'clock? Why'd you come? Not a trick question. Do you know why you came? Why'd you come? You believed there was going to be a service that started at 10 o'clock, and you wanted to be here for it. Did you act on that belief? Did anybody call and say, are you sure you're going to have service today at 10? No, you heard it. You believe that the person who said it will do what they say. So you came out. And here we are. Just like we said. And some of you had to go through more than others to get here. You had to diligently get here. Some people can wake up 15 minutes before they have to leave. Others have to wake up 3 hours before they have to leave. Whatever it is, you wanted to be here. And so you had to diligently seek getting here. You understand that? Look at Jeremiah 1. Just need to know about the one we have to believe exists and that it's worth our while. Jeremiah 1, this is the New Life version. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, listen to this. Before, I love the way this, the New Life version says this. Before I started to put you together in your mother. While you were still body parts. I knew you. While we were still body parts, some parts that were not yet distinguishable, but still a part, he says, I knew you. I knew all about you. Do you know what that means? He knew everything we were going to do, everything we were going to go through, every word that was going to come out of our mouth, every sin we were going to be guilty of before and after Christ. And he still, knowing that information, he still spoke a prophetic word over us. Before he began to assemble our parts, he said, I set you apart as holy. I chose you to speak to the nations for me. While you were still a body part, before you were put in place, before the hip bone connected to the, you know, that whole song, before all of that happened, God says, I knew everything you're ever going to do. And he created us anyway. And he called us anyway. And he said something else. After knowing every mistake, every act of disobedience, as I said before, after knowing all of that about us, he spoke the prophetic word and then gave us assurance. Jeremiah 1, verse 11. 11 and 12. This is the Amplified Bible. And again, the different translations are not to impress anybody just because of the way it says it conveys the message. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch or shoot of an almond tree near the emblem and alertness of activity. I see an almond tree, the emblem of alertness and activity, blossoming in late winter. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. Knowing how we would be while we were still body parts, waiting to be assembled, he said, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. I spoke it, And because I spoke it, I'm staying alert and I am active. I am actively making sure that what I said will happen. And he does that for everybody. He even, before you were, people were a body part, put, assembled together, he knew who was going to receive Christ and who wasn't. But he so loves us that even though he knows you're never going to receive his son, he created you anyway, and keeps for your entire life sending people across your path to tell you about his great love for you, knowing you're not going to believe it. We try and minister to someone and they don't believe it. We say, well, God said, don't cast pearls before the swine. You don't believe God exists. Because if you did, you would practice his nature, and he doesn't give up on anybody, and he knew and knows before they were ever formed in their mother's womb. So if we're going to diligently seek after him, we have to start diligently acting like him. Why are you speaking so loudly? Well, they asked me to because of the speakers. But there's more. There's more. Hebrews 13. To let you know how God's going to keep his word to take care of us, so we should always seek first his kingdom. We should, in every situation, first acknowledge God exists. Hebrews 13, verse 5, 6, Amplified Classic. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. I got to stop there for a second. That means no matter what you're going through, be satisfied. Doesn't mean just say, hey, hallelujah, I have lung cancer. This is great. Let me throw a party. The Bible is saying, don't let that get you all out of sorts. No matter what condition you find yourself in, be satisfied, because you know you have a promise from the God who is. That's what it's talking about. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. Here's the answer. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. I got to read it this way. God said, I will not in any way give you up. I will not in any way leave you without support. It says, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. I won't even relax my hold on you. He said, assuredly not. He's like, are you kidding me? You think I'm going to do all of this and then let you go? You must be high. I am God, and I love you. And I'm not for one second going to relax my hold. Why does he do that? So we can take comfort and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear or dread. The Lord is my helper. I will not be terrified. What can any man do to me? What can a plague do to me? What can the economy do to me? What can social injustices do to me? I know who I am. My father knew all of this stuff was going to happen while I was still a body part waiting to be assembled in my mother's womb. And you can't convince me that he loved me to the point where he's just throwing me into a mess and going to leave me alone there. God stays put in you. You need to write that down. God stays put in me. Listen to the Cotton Patch version of Hebrews 11:6. The Cotton Patch version. Without living by the unseen, it's impossible to get such approval. For anyone who is serious about the God life must stake everything on the fact, I like to say on the truth, that God is. And that he amply rewards those who make him their quest. We stake everything, not some things. Say, God, I give it all to you. I'm staking everything that I am, everything that I have, all of my hopes, all my dreams, all my desires, everything is based on the truth for me that you exist. And I'm going to make finding you my quest. Well, what do you mean finding him? I thought he was always there. He is. That means we look for him in every situation before we do anything else. And it's not that we don't know how to look for things. We just go, as King Asa did, we just went to the wrong sources first. That's why we have to learn how to keep first things first. The first thing in every situation we have to do is believe that God exists. And if I believe that God exists and I act like it, I'll be rewarded because I will be diligently seeking him. Where? In everything. Your A1C is extremely high. You're pre-diabetic. Okay, doc, what do you want me to do? God, you didn't make me pre-diabetic. And you knew that this report was going to come to me. What do you want me to do about what they said? Not. And I'm telling you what I've lived through. Not necessarily with diabetes, but with other things. God, what do you want me to do about what they said? One time he said to me, let them do what they want. They want to stick a needle in my stomach. But he told me what to say. And I didn't realize it until this moment, but he was telling me to be diligent about it. Because he said to me, every waking moment, say this. How long? So that means I had to be diligent. I had to be persistent or I would not have received it. See, folks, when you may want to write this down. When you're diligently seeking God, you're placing yourself in position for the supernatural to move on your behalf. When you're diligently seeking God, you're placing yourself in the position for the supernatural to happen, to occur on your behalf. But you have to do it. If you don't place yourself in position for the supernatural is still going to come. You're not going to be there. Jesus said when the people were all in the house, the power was present to heal. the people inside the house were not in a position to receive that supernatural that was available to them. But there was someone from the outside that made his way diligently inside. And the supernatural occurred on his behalf. He was carried there. He walked out. That's letting us know, folks, that things are going to come and folks are going to have to assist us to a point. But then at some point, you're going to have to say, thank you, but you're not the supernatural. God exists. And I'm seeking him in this situation. Thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for tearing the roof off. Thank you for paying to have it repaired. But meanwhile, I'll fix it myself because I am healed. The woman with the issue of blood, Bible says she spent all that she had on doctors. And don't say Pastor Greg is against doctors. No, I love doctors. God gives them wisdom to share with us. God gives them wisdom to share with us. But I don't just go with their wisdom. I find out from the one who knew all about me while I was a body part waiting to be assembled. And if what he says lines up, then okay, I'll follow the doctor's prescription. Our doctor says to us, I'm going to call a prescription in, so if you pray to God and he tells you to take it, the medicine will be there. He knows how we are. And watching us over the years, he went from Hindu to Christian. Am I telling the truth? That's all we did. We talked to him about it. That's right. We didn't lecture him. We just talked to him. Doc, this is what I believe. This is what we believe. And he has seen the difference. I was on 7 blood pressure medications. God told me the same ones that said you need it will tell you you don't. Down to 2. Low dose. Much lower doses. Headed to 0. But you know what? If I don't reach 0, my faith in God does not change. Then I'm going to start seeking him. Okay, what's going on here? Because obviously there's something I'm not doing. His word is infallible. You have to. In the garden, Jesus had to diligently seek God. I mean, he had to diligently seek God because his flesh was acting out. His flesh was saying, you don't want to be crucified. Do you know the size of those nails they're going to put in you? You've seen what happened to people who were crucified. Don't you know who you are? You're the Son of God. What are all the people going to say? He had to fight off those thoughts. So he did what we do. We go and we pray. But generally, we leave one part out. And if it doesn't apply to you, don't take it personally. I said generally. We leave out to not my will, but thine. Is that an honest statement? God, take this away. What if you're supposed to walk through it? See, we damage our faith trying to pray away things that God said will happen. Stop damaging your faith and find out, God, what do you want me to do in this circumstance, in this situation? And then do what he says. What if he doesn't say anything? Then you have your answer. Don't do nothing. Do like that song, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Why? Because you know he exists. And you know that diligently seeking him will position you for the supernatural to occur on your behalf. Look at John 11. I'm out of time, but I got to get this in. Now I have to rush because there's another service after this one. John 11, King James Version, beginning at verse 20. This is the account of Lazarus. Jesus got word Lazarus was sick. He didn't drop what he was doing. He didn't drop what he was doing. He did not drop what he was doing and go tearing off. Sought first the kingdom. Knowledge God. And then when he went there, and Martha heard that he was coming, in verse 21, she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So the first thing she did was put him on a guilt trip. I'm not going to ask how many of us respond to guilt trips, because they're offered. They're like those timeshares. You just have to spend X amount of time listening to me. Then when you finish, you're going to find out what it cost you. So if you've been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Do you really know that? Because if you knew that, you would have come out of your mouth differently when Jesus showed up. You take him by his arm, say, let's go right to the tomb, because I know it's going to happen. See, sometimes we can short-circuit things by just opening our mouths. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. What do you think the correct response to that is? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. But Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus still meeting her where she is. Okay, you're waiting for the resurrection? I am the resurrection. A praise God moment. He said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, he that diligently seeks me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I know your question is, well, how can Lazarus do that? He already dead. I'll get to that. Okay. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come on the earth. She didn't say, yes, I believe exactly what you said. That diversionary belief. And when she had said so, she went on her way, and he called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master's come and called for you. But down in verse 32, when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came to her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Why? Because all around him was evidence that Lazarus was dead. He knows, he's looking at Lazarus as being asleep. And he knows he's going to raise him again. But all of the evidence strongly suggests he did. There's going to be evidence that's going to strongly suggest things about all of us. What's our attitude going to be? Verse 34. Jesus was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved the man. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Again, guilt, doubt. Yeah, you could do this, but you can't do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay by it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, he said, didn't I tell you, woman, that if thou would believe, thou should see the glory of God? Didn't I just tell you that? I don't care what it smells like. It's not going to be such a stench that the glory of God said, I ain't going in there. There is nothing too hard or too extreme for our God. If we believe that he exists and we diligently seek him out in every situation. Then they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid. What do you think happens when you open a tomb when a body's been in it for 4 days? There had to be an odor that came rushing out of that cave. And that odor was saying, he's dead. And Jesus was not moved. He could look at Lazarus and say, he's dead as a doornail. Let me just go on and hide somewhere till people forget that I missed it. No, Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He's acknowledging God exists. He said, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. Because the people need to know that you exist and I'm diligently seeking you, I said it. You know, God, you know that I know that you always hear me. And I know that thou hearest me always. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. He that was dead for 4 days, body decomposing, that condition came into contact with a person who believed that God exists. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And he was diligently seeking God. Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to awake him. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad because you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Jesus had positioned himself and was trying to get Mary and Martha positioned to receive the supernatural on their behalf. Folks, too many times, this isn't, don't feel bad. This isn't a beat up statement. It's an open our eyes statement. Too many times, we will be satisfied with knowing that we'll see our loved one again in heaven. Instead of seeking God and diligently seeking God on their behalf. Lazarus couldn't diligently seek God about his death because he was dead. But there were believers who were alive. And Jesus had to get them to the point where they would believe and position themselves for the supernatural to act on Lazarus' behalf. Through them. We have to stop being so quick. Yes, it's comforting to know. But we're believers. That's what we do. We lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover. But we have to be diligent about it. It has to be important. It can't be we don't think about it. Now something happens and, oh, well, maybe I should just lay my hands on him. But you don't believe that. Because if you believe that, you've been doing it all along. We have to put ourselves in the position for the supernatural to move through us, sometimes on our behalf, but mainly on behalf of others. These signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that diligently seek him, because they believe he exists. You have to believe he exists. You have to. We have to stop taking the word of the circumstance as being the gospel. And let the gospel of Christ be the gospel of life. I like that. Let the gospel of Christ be the gospel of life. Folks, there's a world out there that's waiting for believers to come, believers who are positioned for the supernatural to act through them on the behalf of others. There are people out there, they're waiting. They're waiting. We have to get out of the mainstream and get in God's stream. We're too busy running around after stuff and things that are natural. No soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. No soldier who wants to please his commanding officer gets entangled in civilian affairs. He does what's pleasing to the one who called him. Stop getting yourself wrapped up in the natural and seek diligently the supernatural. The fact that you're born again is supernatural. You are a new creature in Christ. Period. Everything concerning the old you has been erased. So that means, since it's been erased, that we've taken the devil's software and pulled it out of the delete file and brought the old you back into existence. Why? So you can doubt God. So you can doubt who you are in Christ. So you won't believe that God exists. And because you don't believe he exists, why would you diligently seek someone who's not there? So the devil comes and puts back, makes doubt available. Just like he did in the garden. Did God really say, now that I think about it? No, we know what he said. There's nothing to think about it and everything to do about it. To be like Yoda. He said, no try, do. No think, do. Because you can think yourself, next thing you know, you in glory. Why did you say, well, I was thinking about it, Lord, and next thing I knew, I was here. No, start doing. Because you believe God is. And you believe he is a rewarder because you diligently seek him. So he rewards you. I want to operate in that. How about you? Now, I'm going to close with an action. I'm going to read a scripture. And then I'm going to need some of Pastor Clinton's music that we can play. Is I'm Healing You on that list? That can play over this? Well, find me something that is. Matt, did I give you Matthew 15? Would you put that up, please? This is in the Passion Translation, Matthew 15. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, "Come listen and open your heart to understand. What truly contaminates a person is not what he puts in his mouth, but what comes out of his mouth. That's what makes people defiled." Then his disciples approached him and said, "Don't you know that what you just said offended the Pharisees?" Listen to what Jesus said. "Every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant is destined to be uprooted." Jesus said, everything, some translations say, every tree that God didn't put there gets uprooted. How many trees? What's the principle behind that? If God didn't give it to you, it's got to go. Say, if God didn't give it to me, it's got to go. What does that have to do with this message? You have to put yourself in a position for the supernatural to occur on your behalf. God didn't plant tumors in your body. He didn't plant viruses. He didn't plant colds. He didn't plant blood clots. He didn't plant those in your body. He didn't plant, what is that? What's that gets in your ovaries? He didn't plant those things. He didn't put a lump on your breast. He didn't do that. He didn't cause the cartilage in your knees to wear away. He didn't do that. He didn't plant that. And so since he didn't plant it, guess what has to happen to it? It has to be uprooted. It's just that simple. The problem is not that weed came in because of weed. If you look up the definition of weed, it's not a particular species of plant necessarily. A weed is anything planted where it doesn't belong. Anything planted, doesn't matter how beautiful it looks. None of you want a rose bush to grow in your bathroom. You don't care how good it looks. So it's a weed. It's out of place. It's not supposed to be there. All of those things, those issues, those conditions came from the pit of hell, and that's where they belong, not in you. God didn't plant sickness. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, "I've taken sickness away from your very midst." He didn't say, "I took it and I gave it to someone else who's going to secretly put it back." We have to rearrange our thinking. The doctor said, "I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life." Praise God for medical science. And I do praise God for medical science because it's sometimes the people their bodies need an assist. But God said, before I put together the parts of your body in the womb, I knew all about you. God said, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. That's what God said. He knew you were going to have issues while you were still body parts waiting to be assembled. This part is going to be on this person who's going to have this name and live in this area and go through this and this and this and this. I command thee to be holy. You are going to speak for me to the nations. And then he puts you where he wants you. And the devil comes and plants a weed. And some weeds, you know, when we are, hear this clearly, when we are young and inexperienced and we see the weeds grow up on the grass, we don't see them as weeds. We take the flowers and just spread them so more weeds can grow, not knowing it. But we help them out. We help them out. We take the little yellow things, those pretty, and come, I look for those pretty yellow flowers. They're weeds. We pick them when we're young, immature, not knowing. We pick them, put them up, put them in the glass in the house, give them to them, here, mommy, I picked these for you. Or make a wish. They're weeds. But we think that they're designed for our pleasure. We don't know they're weeds. Stuff going on in your body is a weed. God didn't plant it, so it needs to be uprooted. And we ain't leaving here today until I pull those roots up. We are positioning ourselves for the supernatural to occur. How's that going to happen? We are diligently going to seek God because we want him. He said, and it shall be open. He didn't say, why is this door locked? It ain't never open. I don't know what's wrong with. He didn't say complain. He said knock. He didn't say get frustrated. He said knock. And one day the door will be open. Well, as far as I'm concerned, one day is today. So if there's something in your body that God didn't plant, you need to make a line up here. Because you're diligently seeking after God. God said you will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. And he didn't necessarily say, you'll lay hands on the sick and they're going to drop down like they were hit with a bat. Yes, the power of God is a force. And sometimes when the power of God hits you, it takes you off of your feet. And it's wonderful, and you land like you're on a bed of feathers because it's God. So I don't want you to think about, am I going to fall out or am I not? I want you to think about what God said to us. Every plant that he did not plant must be uprooted. Why does it have to be uprooted? So it can't grow back. I used to wonder why several times during the summer I had the arduous order from mommy to go out and pull up the weeds. I'm like, why are these weeds always coming back? I didn't know until many years after that. She would say, you got to pull them up and shake them off. So I'm pulling them up and shaking the seeds and everything back into the ground. She thought she was telling me right. But I was doing things to make it come back. Some of you have been up here before and you received, but something happened and it came back. We have to get away from, I'm not laying hands on you to snip it off at ground level. I'm laying hands on you because it will be uprooted. And because it's uprooted, it's not coming back. That's what I believe. But it doesn't matter that that's what I believe. What do you believe? What do you believe? You're not Lazarus. You alive. You Lazarus couldn't, but you can position yourselves right now to receive the supernatural. I am not the supernatural. I choose to operate in the supernatural in the office I hold as pastor. And even more than that, as believer. Because the Bible didn't say you have to be a pastor to lay hands on the sick. He said these signs shall follow them that believe. So you have to believe, each and every one of you must believe that whatever it is that was planted in you is uprooted. Whatever it is. Do you understand? Have you positioned yourselves?